Okay, so it's time to take a quick look at what's happening in the world of travel now. I'm joined by our travel expert, Claire Coleman. Morning, Claire.
Good morning.
Are you all right? I gather from it since we last spoke, you've had a bout of the dreaded COVID.
Oh, God, yeah. Fully recovered now, though, thank God.
Very, very, very pleased to hear that.
Yes.
Not a good time for the travel industry. It should be make hay while the sun shines, I would have thought, for the travel industry, but not quite been the case, purely because of the overhang of COVID. It's still affecting lots and lots of people. And, of course, the fact that lots of people were laid off during COVID from the travel industry and have now sought work elsewhere. And there are huge numbers of vacancies within the travel industry. How are you finding things?
Yeah, well, we've obviously, there's been lots of, as you rightly say, there's been lots of cancellations recently due to staff shortages and COVID. It is still out there. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of COVID cases that has sort of been a bit overshadowed, I guess, by the Ukraine situation. It's different news now, isn't it? It's kind of COVID's old news, so it's not so out there. But yeah, lots of flights have been affected, lots of cancellations because there's just no staff. And like you say, people did lose their jobs in the wake of COVID, and they've both been having big recruitment drives recently to get more staff.
Yeah.
So hopefully, as the weeks go by and people recover from COVID, the flight cancellations and things should become less of an issue.
I mean, is this an issue for people booking holidays now at the moment? Is it something they're asking about or talking about, thinking, you know, saying, well, it's no good me booking a holiday because, you know, I might not actually get away on it? So is it making people stop and think about booking perhaps something completely different?
No, in fact, the funny thing is now it's a completely different sort of line of questioning when someone comes through to me. Before I'm even going to look, the first thing I'm asking is, what is your vaccination status? Because if you're fully vaccinated, you can get into a lot of countries much, much easier. If you're not fully vaccinated, and by fully vaccinated, most countries are seeing fully vaccinated as two doses, not mm-hmm. necessarily the boosters. So if you're not fully vaccinated, you then do have to have possibly a PCR or a lateral flow, an antigen lateral flow test, before you can get into the country. So obviously ascertaining what people's vaccination statuses are before we even start looking, and also passport situations, and also making sure that if people aren't insured, that if they take out a travel insurance, that they do make sure that there's COVID cover in place, because that will help in the event of testing positive for COVID before you go and you can't travel. You can claim your money back. Although, having said that, it has to be, certainly the insurance company that we use, it has to be an official PCR or a proper test whereby you get the results via an email to say that you have tested positive. It can't just be I've got a lateral flow test, here's a picture of it, I want my money back. It has to be official.
Yeah, it's an official email and stuff.
Yeah.
I know the regulations for in and out of the UK for UK residents is a lot easier, and there don't seem to be too many obstacles these days. What are the obstacles like around the world? I mean, going to other countries, because I know New Zealand has not yet reopened up, but he's planning to
open in New Zealand in May.
What sort of regulations are we seeing around the world? Any particular hot spots at all?
It all varies completely. I mean, I have actually got a client going to New Zealand in June or July, I think, and she just needs to have a PCR or antigen 24 hours before travel to get into New Zealand if you're fully vaccinated. And then you do need to apply for the, it's a bit like the American ESTA. It's a visa for New Zealand, which I think is something like $20 or something to get in. It's a bit like the Australian one as well. So each country has got its own sort of set of rules. Some, even if you're fully vaccinated, still want a PCR within 24 or 48 hours before you travel, which is fair enough. You know, even if you're fully vaccinated, that's not to say you can't be positive for COVID before you fly. And certainly countries like New Zealand that are only just opening their borders, they just want to be absolutely positive that anyone coming in is not going to bringing COVID.
Yeah.
So
what sort of evidence do these countries need of full vaccination?
So basically you've got two options. You can either download the NHS app, mm-hmm. and you can have all your vaccination certificates loaded on there, and you can request it. You can download a PDF document with a QR code which shows the dates of all your vaccines. Or if you're not sort of very tech and you don't have mobile phones and things like that, you can apply online for a paper copy, and they will send that through in paper format, again with a QR code stating when all your vaccines have been administered. But those paper copies are only valid for 30 days at a time.
Right.
So if you are using the paper copies, you need to make sure you're applying not too soon.
So you can't just show the cards that you were given to say that you'd had the injections.
No.
You've got to go to the NHS app to get it, have you?
Yes. NHS app is the best way of doing it because it's the touch of a button.
Yeah.
And it's quite simple to set up as well. And I've recently done it for my parents, actually, because I didn't realise I requested paper copies for them because they're not very good on mobile phones. And so I thought, oh, we'll get them the paper copies because you can't go wrong. And I hadn't actually realised with the paper copies that they expire after 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's just a touch of a button on the app and it generates a PDF document which you can download to your phone and print off, and that just proves that's all you need for you to prove your vaccination status.
That's likely to stay in place for some time, that, isn't it?
I think that will be with us for the foreseeable, I have to say.
And this is for most countries, is it?
That is for every single country. You need, if you're fully vaccinated, you have to prove your vaccine status.
Okay, all right, okay. Well,
there might be the odd exception to that. Some countries are just, regardless of vaccine status, they want you to have a PCR to get in. That's the only other thing. Some countries, I have a feeling some like Turkey might be, you've got to have a PCR to get in. It doesn't matter if you're fully vaccinated. So it's either fully vaccinated or a PCR. Or both in some instances.
Okay, so. We'll watch this space on that one because I think it's going to be one of those things that some people are going to say, oh, I can't be bothered with all that. I'll just stay at home, which might actually affect bookings this year. But looking at some news that's come out this lunchtime, talking about worker shortages, one union has actually said that they're facing a very difficult summer because of worker shortages and the lack of border staff. I mean, that again affects what you do, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, not complete. I mean, yeah, it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, yeah, border staff obviously is a major factor at the airport.
Yeah.
And so I guess you've got to bear in mind that you might be subject to more delays this year than possibly you would have done in the past, but it all tends to have a knock-on effect. If one thing goes wrong, then everything, you know, it all follows suit, really. So yeah, border for, I think it's just, I don't know if it's the it is the workers, isn't it? I guess from leaving the EU, it's not so easy anymore. I think that's the other thing, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell what's caused what. I mean, why there are all sorts of political reasons for the shortages at the as far as border staff are concerned. Some are saying that not enough was invested in the first place, and because it takes a year to fully train somebody to work, and you know, on the border staff. It's going to take a long time to go through. But whether, I mean, I can't think that that's much to do with anything other than the fact of probably a bit of lack of investment. And, of course, the fact that lots of people would have been let go because of the COVID thing and have sought other work, which means that there's a shortage all round.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully they'll sort that out sooner rather than later because they have open South Terminal now, haven't they, at Gatwick?
They have.
That's good. I think that was the end of March, wasn't it? I think 26th, 27th of March, I think South Terminal was back opening again.
Mm.
And you've got EasyJet also, whereas EasyJet sort of took over the north, they are moving some of their flights to the south now. So which is what it used to be. It used to be south and north flights, different flight numbers. I think if your flight started with a 6, you were out the south, and if it was a 9, you were out the north. And now it's just a case of if you get an email alert saying your flight's changed and you can't see that the flight number's changed or the flight times have changed, check the terminal, because that happened to me. I was thinking, I can't see anything different here. And then I realised it said departure south, arrival north. So some of the terminals are changing.
I think that's to do with EasyJet and British Airways, because I think one used to, I mean, British Airways were going to pull out of Gatwick. They were going to pull out. And, of course, EasyJet have moved into the North Terminal is what's happened. And I'm not quite sure what the rest of the situation is there. But at the moment, I can't think that in itself is going to be that much of a problem. But there are warnings from industry leaders that the situation with cancellations and that is not going to improve very quickly. I mean, for instance, you talk about Gatwick Airport, and I saw a bit on TV the other week about the reopening of the airport, and they said they were ready to go, but apparently there are 5,000 vacancies there.
I know. I know. I've heard that as well. It's a bit of a worry. But I'd like to think they know what they're doing, because, you know, there's definitely been an uptake of holidays. People, I think, have got to that point now where they just want to get away.
Yeah.
And it's actually easier now if you're fully vaccinated. Every day that passes, it's getting easier. There's less forms to fill out. I think Cyprus and Spain only in the last few days have said you no longer need to fill out the forms to get into Spain and Cyprus. So that's another thing that you haven't got to worry about.
Yeah.
And they were a bit daunting and a bit weird, to say the least. So every day that passes, travel is definitely getting easier. Mm. It's only going to be a problem if you've not had any vaccines and you don't want to pay, you don't think you should be paying to have a PCR test to get anywhere. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. Yeah.
Well, as a personal thing for you, I think. I mean,
yes,
I mean, you work in the travel industry, and you were affected very badly by all that's gone on with COVID, and you're now getting back. I suppose the expression is getting back on the bike to make things work again. Mm. And slowly but surely, it's coming back for you. But like all these things, that is going to take quite a bit of time. And is it the same with the consumers who are actually buying holidays? I mean, because not only has the times changed because we've had coronavirus, we're now into a different situation where fuel prices are astronomical. The cost of living is going up all over the place. And I would guess so are the cost of holidays, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that is a bit of a problem, because I think because people haven't been away for sort of 2-3 years, they've still got memories of what they paid for holidays pre-COVID. And you're exactly right. You know, whereas before somebody could come to me with a certain budget and they've got a list of requirements, and within reason I can find that. The budget, the requirements are still the same, but the budget hasn't moved, and things have definitely gone up. And I think it's just, I think it's still now, it's a safer time. It's a better time than any to sort of be booking through someone like myself or agents who you've got on the end of a phone that are there to help and guide and do everything. Because it is, you know, it's all very well to book a holiday, but if you've not been given the up-to-date travel advice and you're not too sure about it, you could quite easily go to the airport with a passport that you think's in date, but in actual fact, it's got 6 months extra validity, which is now not seen as being valid.
Yeah.
And you've got no one to claim off of because you didn't know. So
it's always the safeguards of not necessarily doing these things yourself. I mean, it's easy enough for many people to just click on a few clicks on the website, and they've got themselves thinking, hey, I've got myself a holiday, without actually realizing some of the pitfalls that are involved that those online sellers don't actually tell you about.
Well, they're not live prices for starters, but that's a whole nother conversation for another day, because we could go on forever about that one. And I would.
Oh, I'm sure you would. Speaking of which, I mean, I know people are coming back. Where are the hotspots at the moment to go to? Where would you recommend? I want to book a holiday. Where are you going to send me?
Oh God, I guess it depends what you want. There's so many questions.
I want to go and sit on a beach for a couple of weeks. I've worked hard.
You don't want to do anything.
No. I just want to go and sit on a beach for a couple of weeks. Where would you go?
The Maldives. Go to the Maldives then.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect beaches. You can walk around the islands in about half an hour. Perfect if you just want to chill out and do absolutely nothing.
You got that one sorted. What about America? Because it always was popular. I'm guessing Florida's as popular as ever for people to go and see Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, Florida's always going to be busy, and it's even more so because obviously people that may have been booked in prior to COVID then moved it to the following year and then moved it again. So we've had sort of 2.5 years of trying to get people's holidays reinstated. So it's had a knock-on effect because everyone that's moved has taken the
availability. I'm one
of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I was going to say, have city breaks fallen by the wayside? Because we talk about sort of COVID and getting out in the open air. City breaks tend to be much more confined. So are they still an issue, or are they picking up as well?
Yeah, so I think city breaks, I've had quite a lot of inquiries actually, certainly for, I've had inquiries for Barcelona, I've had inquiries for Boston and New York.
Oh, Boston.
Yeah.
Love that place.
So, yeah, I've been to Boston, but it was whistle stop, so I definitely want to go back. But
I've been three or four times, brilliant.
Cities are always popular. I mean, I've got clients going to Rome at the end of the month, I've got clients going to Venice in the summer. Sicily, all sorts. So, lovely places coming up.
Okay, well, let's hope and pray that the situation with the cancellations and the staffing situation improves. And hopefully in a month's time, we can talk about one or two places to perhaps actually go to. But for now, Claire Coleman, great to catch up. Thanks for talking to us.
No problem. Thank you.